Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, you are the God of love. And you have loved each one of us so much that you've even sent your Son into this world to die, that we might be saved and become your children. Lord, as I preach this morning, I pray that your love would come pouring out, that everyone here would know that love you have for them. And that, Lord, that love would come with power, that you would disarm, Lord, those who have resisted you, and that they would know how greatly they are loved by the God of heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to preach to you this morning about perhaps the most neglected source of help for fighting against sin. Something that can make the most tremendous difference in your life to help you be a happy and a holy Christian. Something that will really help you overcome the sin in your life. And yet it's something today that is badly underappreciated by sincere and good Christians. And what do I mean? Well, I'm talking about living church membership. Church membership. Living church membership. Being an active, fully involved, committed member of the Church of Jesus Christ is one of the most powerful weapons to help you defeat sin in your life. Because for several months, we've been listening together to the bad news about sin. And this is the stark message of the Bible about sin. Your real problem is that you're not right with God. And the real reason you're not right with him is not just a few minor things you've done here and there, but there's something inside of you. There's a power inside of you that fights God, that hates God. And the more it hears about God, it just wants to resist him. And the Bible calls, one of its names for it, is the body of sin. And the picture the Bible's using there is that attached to you and me, if you can imagine it as a picture, is this rotting corpse. And it's that foul and it's that hideous. And what it's trying to do is work through you to control you and make you do all kinds of miserable sins and destroy you. And the Bible is deadly serious about this. Sin's not some laughing matter. I would, as a preacher, as I hope you can tell, plead with you to grasp the seriousness of sin. It is a hideous thing that will destroy you, your marriage, your children. It'll turn you in on yourself. And above all, it will keep you from knowing this awesome God of love who made you. And at every moment, this hideous thing is working in you. So what's wrong with the world is not the politicians or the financial disasters or... What's really wrong is something deep within us, in our hearts. And we're in this death roll with it. So that's been the bad news. But praise God, we started last Sunday to look at the good news. The amazing good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ has come to save us from this. And if the bad news is we're attached to this body of death that's pulling us down, the good news... And we looked last week at Romans 6, is that a great change happens when you become a Christian. Something supernatural and powerful happens. And now, the good news is God attaches you to a new body in this picture. He attaches you to Jesus. To the risen, living Saviour. And just as the old body was working in you to pull you down, his glorious saving grace will now be at work within you to change you and set you free. And so we're going to carry on thinking about this good news this morning. What it means is if you are a Christian, you don't have to be stuck in who you used to be, in your old life or your old sin. You can change by his grace. And this is the true starting point for fighting sin in your life in Christ. You are a new creation. Isn't this just the most wonderful news? Whoever you've been in the past, maybe you've been a real lech. Maybe you've been really greedy. Maybe you've been a drunkard. Maybe you've been a blasphemer, maybe even conservative, liberal, English, American, rich or poor, you have a new identity. You are Christ's. And our passage this morning is 1 Peter chapter 2. And you see, in this battle against sin, that's where he starts. He says, Christians, you're something new. God's made you something new. You are a chosen generation, a holy nation, God's special people. And in particular, in chapter 2, he focuses on how we do this together as a church. You see, when we're joined to the body of Christ, it means we're not just joined to Jesus, we're joined to everyone who believes. We are now one body together. And that is to help us in this battle against sin. Peter, in describing this new identity, is really, in the different words, explaining what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12. As the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members individually. So Peter's saying, you know, there's no Lone Ranger Christians. We're united together. This is part of this great change. There's an invisible spiritual bond between us all. And if you look at verse 11, Peter goes from that to talking about our battle against the flesh and sin. And so he's saying, look, understanding that you're part of this thing called the church, this glorious body of Christ, is what's going to help you against sin. Perhaps the missing key in your spiritual struggles is you've not grasped the importance of the church. And I hope looking at this passage this morning is going to inspire you with what the church is all about. God has given you a body and a people to help you be free from sin. I know in the 21st century, commitment to the church, a lot of people are suspicious about the church as an institution. It's low down on everybody's list of priorities. Even Christians can be at best indifferent. But the word of God is telling me that the church is essential. And being a living church member is vital to defeat sin. Peter says that we are to be living stones being built up to be God's house. You see, the picture is that God's building us up to be a temple, a special house he will live in. But living, not brick and mortar, but made up of people. So what that means is you need to be a living member of the church. Let me try to sum up for you what Peter says in this passage under three headings. What he says in detail. He tells us about the church's delight, the church's design, and the church's duty. And through that, I want to show you what it means to be a living church member and hope that you'll commit to that by the end of this sermon. And so the first thing is he tells us that the church delights in Jesus Christ. The delight of the church is in Jesus. And this is what it really means to be a living stone, a living church member. You have a living faith in Christ, a living relationship with him. And Jesus is infinitely precious to you. He is worth more than anything or anyone else. If you look at the passage, just see how many times Jesus is described as precious. Verse 4, he is chosen by God and precious, precious to God. Verse 6, a cornerstone, elect and precious. Verse 7, to you who believe, he is precious. So Peter's explaining the purpose of the church. What's the church here for? Well, it's here to worship and adore Jesus. Verse 9, the church is his own special people that they may proclaim his praises. Or praises could be translated excellences. We exist to show how excellent in every way Jesus Christ is. So this is what it really means to be a Christian. This is what it means to really be a member of the church. Jesus is precious to you. He's the treasure beyond all earthly value. He's the artwork that's more beautiful than any other. He's the gold medal that's worth fighting for. And you value him more than life itself. You know, there's that parable Jesus told about a treasure hunter. And he goes searching in a field and he finds a pearl that's the biggest pearl that he's ever seen in the whole world. And he joyfully, it says, sells everything he has in order to be able to buy it. Well, that's Jesus. He's that pearl of price to his people. Think of the Apostle Paul. He says, this is the change that happened in me when I became a Christian. He says, I now count all other things as loss compared to the excellence of knowing Jesus, my Lord. So first and foremost, being in the church is not about the church as an institution or the good things the church can do of helping other people, serving people, community good works. Church should do all those things. But that's not really the first thing. It's not about you might really love the people who are here. You might love the worship. You might love, I doubt it, but you might even love the preachers talk sometimes. But that's not really what it's about. It's not about joining a club. It's not about like a social club. So you've got community. It's a bunch of people who've discovered this incredible worth and value of Jesus. And so we delight to come. We have to come and express how great he is. Why is he so precious? Because he's the cornerstone, says Peter. So think of this building going up. He's the cornerstone. In God's new people, this restored human race, Christ, if you like, he's the first and the greatest stone. Today, we would say the foundation stone. So he's the founder and the beginner of God's plan to save the world. And everything's going to line up with him. He was laid down. He died. He was willing to go into the earth to pay the price of construction to save us. He cancelled the debt of our sin. So if we repent, God will forgive us. And then standing on him, being built on him, building our lives on him, well, God will save us. And he'll do this wonderful work in our lives. It says, a quote from the Old Testament, if you believe in him, you will not be ashamed. Now understand, in Hebrew, what you often do is you state the opposite of something to make your point. So when it says not be ashamed, what he's really saying is you'll be made glorious. You'll be made beautiful. You'll be made worthy as God had created you to be. You'll be made glorious if you're trusting in him. So it's really speaking about eternal life in heaven. So this is why he's so precious. Because the Son of God has given himself for us to save us. And to a Christian, to the church, he's that precious. I've been looking recently at our home insurance. And it's made me start to daydream and wonder, if there was a big fire and everything was, the whole house is coming down, what would I actually risk going back in for to save? And actually, I think there's only the family. Kristen, the kids, my mum. Yeah, the rest can burn. That's what's really precious. And what this Bible's saying, the astonishing message of the Bible, is that Jesus Christ, you were so precious to him, he ran into the burning building of God's wrath to save you. And that's why he's so precious to us, because he first loved us. So, under this first point, as you're thinking about what it means to be a living church member, is Jesus precious to you like that? Because Peter goes on and he says, look, he's not precious like that to the world. To those who do not believe, he's like a rejected stone. So imagine you're building up this temple and you come across a scrap of rock and you think, well, that's not going to fit anywhere. That doesn't fit in with my plans, the life I want to build. What use is this? Oh, I'll just throw it away. It's no good. Serves no purpose. So as you're building your life, have you treated Christ like that? That there's no place for him? He's not precious to you, that he doesn't have your thoughts, your heart. Well, that's the difference, Peter's saying. A non-Christian just doesn't see it. And you could say this is the acid test to know if you are a real living Christian and you should be a living member in the church. Is Christ precious to you? If he's not, you should fear that you're really not one of his people. So being a living member of the church starts here. It's not about being on the membership roll. It's not about even being actively involved. It's where do you stand with Jesus? What do you say about him? Do you see what he's done? Do you see how much he loves you? And is he precious to you? Well, then the second point Peter makes. The church's design. God has a design for the church. We're to be living stones, a spiritual house. Just think about that. Living means, you know, we're here. A church is not that big stone tower. A church is not some big empty room. It's people. So it tells you that God's design is we're meant to be sharing in life together. We're going to be living together. The church is about real living fellowship. You've got to open up your life to other Christians. You can't be a living church member if you never show up and you never spend time with other Christians. What he's saying is the church is made up of real flesh and blood people. Flawed, funny, let's just look around. Flawed, funny, frustrating people. But you cannot belong to the church in abstract. It's not some mystical concept out there, some theory. You think that sounds nice? It's real on the ground, getting your hands muddy, sharing in life together as real people. A living church member commits to that. It matters. It really matters that you sign up and be an actual committed member. And in fact, we've been talking about this as elders. We believe membership is so important. We're hoping what we'll do in the new year is we'll have a series of classes for those who are interested in being a member. And so we can learn about it. We can look at it together. But it matters that you sign up as a member because that's expressing that you really are in this living union. And the New Testament had membership. There were decisions. There was a clear boundary who was in and out. There were lists the Bible mentions. It means living together, real fellowship. Think of that wonderful description in Acts 2. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So you see, that sharing of life communally, that's what living church members do. So if I could put it this way, when was the last time you went and visited another Christian and somebody else in the church? When was the last time you made a pastoral visit? There's nothing in the scriptures that says that's just the responsibility of the pastor. We all are meant to do it. When's the last time that you just went over to rejoice when somebody else had a success, or you went to weep with someone who was grieving? When was the last time you went to visit that sick member in the church? When did you last go and read scripture with someone and pray with someone? That's what it means to be a living church member. When did you last just go and sit with someone in order to pray for the church? That's what living church members do. There's that kind of commitment. And I know you might say, well, this, can we really take membership that seriously? Is it really that big a commitment? I know I've said this before, and I probably sound like a Jeremiah, but I truly believe that there is a collapse coming all around us. Our society has gone off a moral cliff, and there is disaster coming. And what needs to happen, what's going to survive, how the church is going to survive, is if we really come together as a community to really be a shelter for vulnerable people who are being left behind. And that's only going to happen if we bind ourselves closer and closer together in love. That's what's desperately needed. Now, of course, as you think about this kind of commitment, it says being built up a spiritual house. The work's incomplete. The church is not a finished article. And in truth, more often than not, the church is going to look like a building site than like a temple. You know, you think about the big development going up just behind us. Well, for months, it looks like nothing's happened. There's just a muddy field and some big holes. That's often how it might look in the church. It's messy because we're just broken, sinful people, every one of us. And we're a work in progress. And the church isn't going to be finished until we're in glory. So you might say, well, I can't go to church. They're all hypocrites. Well, you know the old line. There's room for one more. You might say, well, look, if we're being built up, some of these stones are pretty rough edges. Sometimes, you know, we will have disagreements and rub each other the wrong way. Well, we'll picture it like this. There's a picture in the bulletin to show you what I mean. You know, when you go to the Lake District, there's those endless stone walls everywhere. And you wonder, who on earth built them up and down all the mountains? And actually, when you examine them, the original walls are these individual stones that have just been stuck together very carefully. They're not glued together. There's no cement or anything. Just with skill, every individual stone has been placed in just the right way to build the wall. Unique, bumpy, dodgy stones that probably couldn't be used anywhere else. Misshapen, a bit rough. Well, Peter says, look, as a member of the church, you are elect. You've been chosen. You're one of these rough, bumpy stones, but God has a place for you. You might come to church and say, I'm not sure if I'm really going to fit in. I don't feel like I fit in anywhere else. God has designed a spot just for you. Your personality and your needs and that rough, bumpy stone sitting next to you with rough edges. God's designed it. They're exactly what you need. That's God's plan. And so God also has it that you are in this church. It's down to the details of individuals. So, you know, don't go church hopping around. Settle where God's put you. Because he has this wonderful design. And there's a place for each one of us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And it's a spiritual house. The final thought on this point. You might wonder, well, how on earth does the church keep going? What holds it all together? It's a spiritual house. Now that doesn't mean, what that does not mean is it's some invisible thing, like a ghost. What it means is it's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit puts love and grace in our hearts and he binds us together. So God has designed the church. So the challenge is, you want to be a living church member. Commit to church membership. Be fully in. Not half in, half out. Sign up. Be committed. And be in this place where God's put you. And love one another. And then the third, the final point, more quickly. You might say then, well, how does that help me against sin? How does that help me against sin? As you think about that final few verses of that passage in Peter. Well, the final thing is the church has a duty. The church has a mission. And what Peter says there in verses 11 and 12 is that we must live holy lives so that the watching world sees the preciousness of Christ. The world needs to see that we're serious about what we believe. So we've got to be different. It's not just our words, our lives have got to show God's holiness. And we do that together. Verse 5, it's plural. We are to be holy priests. Verse 9, we are to be a holy nation. Holy just means different, set apart. So there's this majestic description of the church. And then verse 12, it's so that the Gentiles, it means the nations around us, will see this as a powerful witness. You see, what people need to see is not that the church is like how the world lives. It needs to see that the church is different. Where to being a living church member will help you. We're to encourage one another against sin, as Peter's doing here. Think about all the encouragement you get if you're a living church member. We will rub off on each other. You know, you'll come to church on Sunday and you'll know that you're with brothers and sisters who have the same struggles, the same woes, the same problems, who are praying for you, who are cheering you on. And before you even know it, you'll all be molding one another into this image of God. And it's a lot harder to go out and sin on Saturday night when you know on Sunday morning, someone who loves you is going to put their arm around you and say, how you doing? And with that, living church membership means that you are accountable to the church, to one another. Isn't that how it works as a family? You're accountable. Somebody's getting it wrong, you hold on to them. You stop them. That's what the Lord was talking about in that passage in Matthew 18. He was talking all about how the church together handles sin. And he says, look, if your brother is sinning, go and talk to him about it. And if he doesn't listen, you need backup. Go and get two or three others. Probably that means the elders. And if they're still not listening and making a fool of themselves, bring in the whole church. Do you know they used to do that in the history of the church? It seems like it's something we've lost, that we hold each other accountable for sin. Do you know, the reformers, they said that to be a true church, you had to have three things. One was you preached the Bible. The second was you had the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the third thing was what they called church discipline. Membership. Real living church membership. Where if Joe's blogs has gone out Saturday night and got drunk and done some terribly stupid things, he's not alone in that sin. A church member goes out and reaches out to him to say, we need to help you with this. This needs to stop. Or if somebody's struggling in their marriage, they know that there's another couple in the church they can come to for help. That's real membership. It's not enough to just be here on a Sunday. So the Lord gives that powerful instruction, and it can even go to the extreme. In 1 Corinthians 6, it tells us that if someone really persists in a serious sin, they can throw them out. And they can be thrown out from being a member. And this oversight means really seeking out your pastors and your elders and being accountable to them. When you're sick, you go to the doctor. When you sin, you come to your pastors. And that's what they're here for, to give care for your soul. And again, this might sound strange that membership should be something so serious, such a commitment, but this is the great high standard that the Bible puts before us. If I could sum that up as saying, let me put it this way in a picture. We need to practice holy uniform checks. Picture soldiers going out onto the battlefield. They check each other's equipment. You don't check your own equipment. Your buddy checks it in case you've got it wrong. Now, would it be loving to let someone go out without their body armor? Or if one of their grenades is missing a pin and is about to blow up? You'd stop them. You'd want to tell them. And so in the same way, living church members, check each other. Hold each other accountable as a real living fellowship. Holy uniform inspection is just about the hardest thing to get right as a Christian. You can veer off into being a real fault finder and gossip, or you can go to the other extreme of never speaking up when there's sin. It takes boldness, it takes faithfulness, it takes humility, it takes yourself walking closely with God, it takes confessing your own sin, getting rid of the logs in your own eyes. It means being gentle and loving. But it means being willing to speak to someone if they've sinned. Brother, I notice you've been missing from church for several months. Sister, I'm concerned. I saw the other night on Facebook that you were out doing all kinds of things till 1 o'clock. I'm sorry, sister, but I don't think you should marry a non-Christian. It'll cause him endless problems. Brother, I'm sorry, but I think what you said the other day, I think that was really harsh and unfair. But living church members are brave enough to do this. It's the hardest thing to do. Let me finish with this picture of what I'm trying to say. Like me, I'm sure you've got lots of different clothes in your wardrobe. You've got old clothes, full of holes, a bit smelly and worn, and it doesn't matter if they get something spilled on them, because you just use them for the mucky jobs, don't you? It doesn't matter if they get dirty. They're nothing precious. But then you've also got your precious clothes, your Sunday best, your fancy suit that comes out for weddings. I know we've actually still got Kristen's wedding dress. And because we're trying to preserve it, we've had it vacuum packed and sealed and cleaned of everything. I'm not sure what we're keeping it for, but we keep it because it's precious. Well, in the same way, We're meant to think of the church being more like that precious garment. Our holiness is what's going to be on display. It's what we're going to wear that people are going to see. And if we say that Jesus Christ is no big deal, and so it doesn't matter how we live, it's like we're saying, well, it doesn't matter just how dirty and messy I am. But if we take it seriously and we're helping each other against sin, then we're putting on a wonderful display for the world of how precious he is. How precious this whole salvation is. So we've got to constantly be washing and cleansing and patching up holes. And we've got to do it together. So that the church will appear like a bride on her wedding day. In a spotless white dress. So as you're thinking about the battle of sin, the good news is we're united to one another. We're not alone. And you're united to Christ. You don't have to be the same old person. But what you need is to be a living church member. It means Jesus Christ is precious to you. And you live for him. It means you're a living member, that you fellowship with others. You commit. You're there. And it means you'll work at holiness. You'll accept oversight and correction, and you'll help others too. So we're fighting sin together. So are you willing to be a real living church member? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that the church is a body unlike any other. That it is the body of Christ. Lord, we ask for forgiveness if we have neglected the church. If we, Lord, have failed to see how precious Jesus is. But Lord, we thank you for giving us new life and new hope in him. And so we pray that you would give us grace to be living church members. Help us, Lord, to love one another. To love Jesus Christ more. And we pray that you'd give us grace to be living members together. Help us, Lord, to show the world how precious Christ is. In his name we pray. Amen.